Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who really is going to struggle with taking the safety announcement seriously if I'm ever on one of Brent's flights. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Wednesday night edition of Big Brother 23 coverage as we talk about a night before the Big Brother house guests live Brent free in Big Brother house. So here we are tonight. Wild episode to talk about. All about how Brent is feeling very safe, feeling very secure about his position in the house. We got a great panel to talk about it. Back with us, of course, it is great. Voice of the people. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be back after a very, very fun roundtable yesterday. Yes. Yeah. Excited to talk about the episode.
Okay. Melissa, how's everything going on your end?
Good. As you can see, there are a lot of moving boxes. Sorry about that. Just ignore it. We're moving soon, not too far away, just like a couple neighborhoods down.
Yes.
So just, yeah.
You
just
were inspired by Taryn.
I was inspired by Taryn. I heard his move just went so smoothly and so well that
everybody's
doing
it.
Yeah. I was like, I need to do it. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Melissa, good to have you back. Okay. Very excited to have back with us to talk BB23. It is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I was doing fine until you said what you said about Brent at the top of the show. I hadn't thought about it, but this is a flight attendant. And if he's supposed to be like the person who is securing us and making sure that we're safe and making us all feel good about it, I don't know if I ever want to be on the same plane as this man because this was a lot.
You hit some turbulence and you're like, is that normal? He's like, trust me. My gut's never wrong.
It's always fine.
Perfectly. This is all according to plan.
I set this all up. Yeah, I'm not safe. No one is safe. I don't know what to say about this. This is hard to watch, but I'm happy to be here.
Okay, happy to have you back here, Chappelle. And then very excited to talk some Big Brother tonight with this woman. Grace Leader is here. Grace, how are you?
Well, I was doing well. I'm the Brent Champagne super fan. It brought me on. I was going to pop my champagne tonight. I thought I was going to win the veto.
Yes.
We didn't need to win the veto.
Yes.
As a plan. So I'll save it for tomorrow night when Brittany gets voted out and Brent stays in the house.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
When Grace, Brent shocks everyone.
Yeah. Glad you are here to have a voice on the panel to represent Brent Nation tonight.
That's right.
Yes. How are you doing, Grace?
Good. Good. Doing great. Took over the Rob Has a Podcast Instagram today. It's been very fun. I'm doing great. Excited to talk about Big Brother 23.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Are you enjoying the season so far, Grace?
Yeah, it's been fun. I think it's a really fun cast. It's really good. The gameplay has been really fun to follow. Listen to Taryn's live feed updates. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. This was a fun episode tonight. We got really just this epic setup for tomorrow night. I think that we might have found the third Christie brother. Brent Christie might actually be. I think Champagne was a pseudonym. He went into the house and really that setting up an epic downfall. Melissa, can you remember anything like this in Big Brother history where we have somebody who is walking into an ambush on Thursday night and has no idea and the show is presenting it as an ambush?
I feel like the only time I can remember something similar to this happening was like Marcellus, like not using the veto or something because he thought he was safe. I just feel like that to me is like one of the biggest blind sides, I guess, because he really didn't see it coming. But this, like, it just seems weird to me that his thought process is going in this direction, because I feel like if it were me and I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm being put up as the pawn. Wait, no, I don't think I'm the pawn. I think I'm the target. And now this is making it clear to me that I'm the target. I would be getting really nervous. I don't feel like I'd be getting more confident. I feel like I'd be going around trying to make sure that all the votes are in place with people that aren't just my teammates. Like I would be going to everybody like confirming and reaffirming.
He has the numbers. Think about it.
Numbers don't lie. People do.
Yeah.
It's just, I also think that I noticed that every single DR he had today was, it would always end with, but it doesn't matter because I have the votes. I feel like they took a little soundbite and just like put it into every single DR he had just to like hammer home the point that like he thinks he's safe. And Oh, it's just, I can't believe the confidence. It's
so astounding. Much confidence.
He has so to be confidence. Right. I hired him as my accountant.
Yes.
He has to be right.
Yeah.
Well,
he might be getting out of the flight attending field.
Yeah, that's true.
At this point, I shouldn't even be a flight attendant. I should become an accountant because I'm absolutely crushing these numbers.
Yeah. Oh. Chappelle, what would that be like if Brent was your accountant?
I don't know if I feel safer with him as a flight attendant, honestly, because my life is in danger regardless of what role he has. I don't think I love it, especially if, you know,
Richard Hatch's taxes.
I bet he did, you know, yeah. MC Hammer taxes, MC Hammer, bro. Right? Like, you know, I'm sure that he had a hand in all of those things. And he told them, you know what? I know these glasses makes you perceive, you know, these glasses perceive me as smarter than I am, but I can do your numbers. That's fine. If Brent can't do it, call Chappelle. I got you.
Yeah.
I love the idea of an accountant crushing numbers. Just, oh, my yes. God, calculator. I got
just like smash.
Like, oh, my God, I owe so much money. No, I'll crush those numbers. Zero.
Crush.
Yeah, honestly, like I just feel like he got like worse and worse as the episode was going on, and I mean, I know that was intentional to just like really make you realize, uh-oh, this guy is about to be totally blindsided on Thursday. And the fact that his final DR was just like, yeah, no, I'm good, like I have nothing to worry about, and his they made him just look so bad with his whole plan, like how he's gonna like do exactly what they want to do, but he doesn't know they want to do that, so that way they end up keeping him. Like, the whole thing just didn't make any sense. It made him just look so bad. It was just like, oh, cringeworthy. Poor Brent.
He rallies the troops against himself. This is incredible. You know, like you said, the format of the episode is so good because by the end, he's like, you know what? Not only do I have the numbers, but let me go get those numbers. Tell them all to meet up without me. So that they can discuss how I have the numbers. You know, I don't need to be there. I trust my alliance. They got this. What is he doing? Why is this happening? And why can't I look away? It's like a slow moving like train wreck. And I'm just staring at my screen. You know, like there's nothing he can do here. This is incredible.
Also, I just saw right before we got on the podcast, I saw a clip on Twitter of Brent talking to Whitney and basically telling her, my game is so impressive. I'm playing the best game ever. And Whitney's like, are you sure it's that impressive if you're being targeted? He's like, no, it's impressive because I am the target. And it's like, okay, but if people are targeting you, then is it really that impressive? And she kept like pushing back on him. And then he kept insisting that his game is so good. I mean, honestly, if you're that wrapped up in yourself, it kind of is like, okay, I'm kind of glad it's coming like on Thursday. I'm kind of glad this blindside's happening. Normally I feel sad about blindsides because it's like, oh, yeah, it's fun to watch in the moment. But at the same time, I feel that secondhand, like, oh, that poor person who's getting blindsided. But in this situation, it's like, okay, he kind of needs to be like brought back down to earth a little bit. And maybe this blindside will do it.
So what do we think the reaction is going to be on Thursday night? Now, he's planning based on what we heard tonight, like it's just to be very, very much like in Xavier's face about this, and he's gonna go home. So, Grace,
is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he?
I don't know where they're gonna send him, but he doesn't have to go home. But he can't.
He
stay
won't
in
be in the house. Place.
Yeah,
you gotta get the hell out of here. Yeah,
yeah. Grace, how do you think he processes this?
I think it's gonna be so fun because I think that he is someone who like this whole thing. He's so confident in himself all the time that he's going to try to he'll want to like keep up his demeanor, like not want to show that he has egg on his face, but he's absolutely going to have egg on his face. So I'm very excited about it. I don't think he's going to like freak out or anything. He's going to try to play it like cool, like
Totally agree. Yeah. I think he's going to just be like, I think it, like internally he might be like dying inside, but I think externally he'll be like okay, this all makes sense. Like as if he like maybe
he
saw
orchestrated
coming.
It.
Yeah, like he might end up kind of like pretending like I knew I was a threat. You tried to pretend I was a pawn, but I knew what I called it. Like I could absolutely see that happening.
He's 100% going to tell Julie that he knew he was being voted out, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. He's going to say, I knew I was a threat. I told him I'm not pawn material. I saw this coming a mile away. That's absolutely how he's going to play.
Nice try, everybody.
Nice try. I can't pull
I need a banner plane. I need a banner plane to just fly over and just message Whitney and say, Whitney, convince him not to wear shoes. Because Whitney is a savage. Watching her confessionals in this episode was hilarious. Because she has no reason to be like relishing in this the way she is. She's like, I want to win the veto just so I can see his face when he knows I betrayed him.
That Whitney, was brutal.
What's the reason? So like,
it's funny because under a normal season, I feel like Whitney and Brent would have like teamed up together. I feel like, I guess I'm just like, I'm being a little stereotypical here, I guess, like a stereotypical Big Brother season, Whitney and Brent team up together with Christian and Alyssa, and then they run the house. You know, like I absolutely normally see that. So it's very interesting to see all of those people want Brent out.
Melissa, there's not one woman who can stand this man.
Yeah, there's not a good sign for him.
I don't know under what season that that they would end up together. That Chappelle, it seems like that Whitney's entire character in this season is I hate Brent now.
Yeah, she's so diabolical. But this episode, that was her. She was like, look, I'm happy I get to play the veto just so I can rub it in Brent's face. Like, what did he say to her? Like, he hit that trigger on her and she is never going to let it go. You know, so she, I'm happy to see, you know, this type of like gameplay because I like it. It's fun to watch. But like, Whitney, this is not how you go about things. You don't like throw it in people's faces before they go home. You know, she's like, I want him to see that I betrayed him before he even, you're like, wow. Like, most people are like, oh no, I want him out of the door and then I can relish and I can give him a cutting goodbye message. Whitney's the type of person to just look at him tomorrow and be like, Brent, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. You're going home and it was me. Tell Cersei it was me. Tell Cersei it was me. Tell her I did it. You know, that's Whitney.
That's a great point. The goodbye messages tomorrow could be particularly rough. I actually thought that Tiffany gave Frenchie like a very like flattering and potentially untruthful goodbye message. I wonder if she's just not going to go there. She's like, you know, maybe these people are going to come back in the house. Right. I don't want to piss them off.
Of a battle back.
Yeah. Do we think that Brent is going to get burned by anybody?
I think a few people might be willing to, you know.
Who are the suspects? Hannah?
I was going to say Hannah. She doesn't seem to be afraid to speak her mind. Whitney, I think, might say something. I think
Alyssa,
like, possibly, but I don't know if I see her as much doing it. Maybe Xavier just like kind of just be like, "Look, I already did this, you know, whatever."
He wants him to zoom in on Xavier's face tomorrow. So yeah. I can see Xavier. I mean, Xavier doesn't know this, but yeah.
Brent thinks that he's pulling one over on Xavier, so I could absolutely see Xavier being like, yeah, no, I got you.
And honestly, I think that's the biggest flaw in this plan for Brent, is that it's not that he thinks he has the numbers. It's that he purposely wants to perpetuate this idea because he wants to embarrass Xavier. If he was just playing like, I just want to stay, then he would be checking in with those allies and doing like, and crunching the numbers, you know what I'm saying? But like, he's like, no, as long as, I don't care if y'all meet without me, it's fine, because my goal is to embarrass Xavier when I stay. No, you should be rallying the troops against Xavier. What does Xavier want? If he wants me out, how do we get Brittany out so that I can stay here to come after Xavier next week? Or like, who are my troops against Xavier next week? But he's so hell bent on just like, no, it's fine. I just want to see his face when I stay. Like, kid, you gotta wake up. Like, this is not how you play the game. You're doing it all wrong. So I think if he could just let that go, he could possibly save himself, but it's too late now. It's over.
I totally agree. I think he's too focused on like appearances and making sure that like it makes Xavier look bad versus like, cause that way it's like, oh, it's a blindside on the HOH. But instead it's like, he shouldn't be trying for like showmanship here. He should be trying to just make sure he stays. And I feel like he hasn't done enough work to make sure that he actually has the votes. Like, I haven't really seen that. And so I don't know. Makes me.
I mean, I feel like he's been lulled into a false sense of security with the team's twist as well, that he's just assuming that these people who are on the same team as him and then the other team that they're working with are all going to work together.
Yeah, why would they get him out? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing is, like, Brittany is the worst person to, like, be doing this. Like, if someone is going to get blindsided, it's Xavier. But also Brittany, who a lot of people feel bad. Like, she's, like, sad about being on the block, as we saw in this episode. Like, it's a pretty also, like, a bad person to try and also blindside or, like, be a casualty in this blindside plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. After this week, I would be like trying to flip the house on Brittany. I'm sorry. Like, this crying, because think about it. We got to be here for 100 days, and you have to know you're going to go up on the block at some point. I think she might have mentally prepared herself to go in the house and go on the block. Maybe, like, if I screw up, you know, then okay. But I don't think she ever anticipated that I could do almost nothing wrong from her point of view and end up on the block twice in a row. And it is driving her crazy. I'm like, I personally would need her out now. Like, it would be like every time I walk in a room and she's, it's not the crying, it's the howling, it's the bawling, you know, like, I'm like, I said you were a pawn. I promise you're a pawn. Please stop crying. Like, Xavier is so much better than me because he actually went and sat and tried to empathize. I'm Tiffany in this scenario. I'm like, just get over it. Just get over it, please. We're trying to move forward. Just stop crying, please. Even Aza is very emotionally attached to this because she's the one who has to coddle Brittany in these moments. So she's starting to feel that. I could never be that person. I'm sorry. I would just be like, you guys, maybe just let Brent stay one more time. We can embarrass him next week. It's fine. Let Whitney do it. She wants to vote him out. Let him do it. Like, this just wouldn't work for me.
Yeah. I feel like I would be the same way in that, like, I can't do this again next week. Like, how can we sit through another week of this?
Yeah, totally.
Like, that has to be Oz's motivation. Like, please don't put Brittany on the block, please. Like, just take me instead, please. I volunteer as tribute. Like, please. Like, adore her, please. Like, just, can we get like 3 days without her crying? I like Brittany as a character, but man, I know that's got to be hard to live with.
Yeah. We saw Xavier talk to Brittany tonight, and she's still upset. Xavier tries to talk her down, like, look, you're not the target. Don't worry about it. She's still not thrilled. Nothing you can say to her.
In my head, it's like he says, you're not the target. Calm down. And she's like, okay. Sniffle, sniffle. He walks out the room and she goes, it just starts crying again, like a little kid at the doctor's office, you know, just like howling, like, it's okay, it's okay, we got candy, we got toys, like, okay. And then 3 seconds later,
I think part of the problem with Brittany for me is that she's like, well, I don't deserve to be put on the block. But it's not a question of if you deserve to be put on the block or not. It's like, clearly, if you're being put on the block as a pawn like this week after week, you're doing something wrong in the game. So you need to take a step back and be like, okay, what do I need to change to, like, change my position in the house? Like, clearly my position in the house is such that they don't care if worst case scenario, I go home. Like, they're fine to, like, sacrifice me, put me on the block, whatever, will risk you. And that's not a good place to be in. So, like, instead of being like, I don't deserve to be on the block because I didn't do anything wrong, you need to look around and figure out how you can maneuver in this house to get yourself in a better position. And I don't really feel like she's doing that. I feel like she's just like, why did you put me on the block? Like, I'm mad at Xavier because you put me on the block. I'm mad. You know, it's like, that's not helpful. You've got to, like, move on. Like, you're already on the block. Find a way to get past this and get ingrained in the house structure. I don't know.
Grace, do you see there, like, any merit in her just literally going from person to person and saying, like, how do I stay off the block next week? What do you want from me? What can I give you to where I'm not a pawn again? I know y'all are tired of me crying. Just tell me what I got to do. Like, is there any merit to just pitching yourself as that? Like, what do I have to do to get out of this position?
Yeah, if she can actually, like, take that information and, like, use it and, like, figure out a way to, again, like, not be nominated and actually, like, gather that information to actually do something instead of just complaining about being on the block. So, I mean, she could. It's just a matter of if she can, like, implement what she gets out of those conversations.
No, I just don't think that's who she is as a person. I think you're, you know, like asking for her to like deal with things in a much more like rational and reasonable manner. But that's just like not who she is. So that like she can't go there with people. I don't think, based on what we've seen through these first couple of weeks of the season. It was like what Tiffany was talking about with her and Azza, that she said, you know, like I am a logical player, she's an emotional player, and like I just can't level with her on like what needs to be done.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that Azza and Tiffany conversation whenever we get to it. I'm just wondering, like, what could Brittany do at this point? I really think she needs to win. Like, at, you know, and we say this a lot in Big Brother, where like, oh, one alliance is steamrolling. Well, it's always because the other alliance is not winning. You have to win to, you know, to kind of get power back in your favor. We've seen, you know, alliances like Fauté that can win and still screw it up. But for a player like Brittany, you win and then you say, okay, look, if you don't want to be the pawn this week, you got to promise me something. Let me in. Tell me who we're all safe with. So then that way, the next time you get put up, you can take that personally and say, okay, we were all aligned. Why am I the pawn? You know, or you said we were all coming to get, like, to get these people. Why am I the pawn? Because if that's the case, now I can go to them with that information and use it, you know, to my advantage. But you got to win, you know, in that spot, I think.
We saw Brent finally go in and check in with Xavier. This is after we already saw that the Aces talk about how they all want him out. He is frustrated with Xavier. Xavier is not leveling with Brent. Brent knows what's up, of course.
I'm highly intelligent.
He's highly intelligent, okay? All right? And he says first to Xavier that
I'm not as dumb as my body perceives.
Yeah. I'm not as dumb as my body perceives. Xavier somehow does not call him on this. Xavier has a much better poker face than others did. But, you know, he's not as dumb as his body perceives he is. All right.
That's literally like that quote from Happy Endings where she's like, I'm not as dumb as I am. It's like, okay, wait, what?
Yeah, I think the first time someone says it, you can take it as like, oh, you know, we're just talking. People misspeak all the time. Yeah. But by the second and third time when he's like, I'm not as dumb as my body perceives. I think he believes my body perceives my intelligence. You know, like,
my body perceives my intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His body.
He means proceeds, intelligence. Proceeds, right? Like it's like before, like people his body. Body
you think, all right, this is a good method. Like, what is he trying to say? That's a good question. My body, okay. is it A? Grace says, my body precedes my intelligence.
I think Grace is probably right. I think in that context, that would make the most sense. I think Grace's arms are probably tired from reaching as well. But, you know, like,
let's see.
I think it's fine. Well,
let me look at what the chat thinks. My body exudes my intelligence. No, my body deceives my intelligence.
Maybe.
There is a word that he's trying to like use there where it's like, he's trying to say that if you look at him, you will not think he's smart because he's got a good body.
He should be saying, I'm smarter than I look. You know, like,
it's like, there's a word, but it's not anywhere near the words that, belies. Yes, belies, Russell. Russell's right in the chat. That's the word that I was thinking of. That I think he's trying to say that, but it's not anywhere near perceives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over under of a number of questions using the word perceive in the exit interview with Brent on Friday.
It's going to be high. The exit interview is on Friday?
No, when we talk to Brent on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Brittany.
Right.
Brittany, one or the other. Yeah.
Rob, come on.
Don't let this edit perceive who's going home. Right. Yeah. You never know.
Right. Yes, right. Never bet against Brent. All right. So, Brent just is like, feels like that he's got this master plan. And he's so confident and he goes back to the group and just again is like, you don't put me up as a pawn. How could I be a pawn? That it's never going to happen. Just the patience of these people in the house to not break all week long. Listen, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Honestly, I'm so.
Can we get to Thursday night?
Can we get to Thursday night? I don't know. And I do want to say, though, like that while we're sitting here saying, well, it could be either of them, the announcer at the end was like, they didn't ask, will it be Brittany or will it be Brent going home? The announcer guy was like, will Brent be blindsided?
Yeah.
So will he like, know or will he not know?
Yeah, it's like they already know that he's going home. But the question is,
I saw a commercial afterwards for tomorrow's episode and it was like, will he be blindsided or will he keep flying high or whatever? It was like something like that. So I don't know.
Well, maybe, that could mean anything. We don't know what they mean by flying high. That's true.
He could be voted out and he could still be flying.
He could still fly high. Yeah,
he'll be a flight attendant eventually. Yeah, he can still go back to work. He's only been off for what, 3 weeks? I'm sure they'll let him back on. That's a short little vacay.
That clip you were talking about earlier, Melissa, like seems so close to just being like, okay, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Like you are going home. Like it would not surprise me if somebody tomorrow tells him and it's not a blindside anymore. But I hope not. I hope like,
I mean, I feel like even the conversation he was having with Whitney where he's like, my game is so good right now. It's amazing. Yeah. Like it would be so hard for me to be like, to just be like, okay, well, maybe it's not as amazing as you think and just leave it at that. I'd be like, you're literally going to go home. You clearly don't have a good game. I don't think I would be able to last.
Rob, there's a good example. You just watched Survivor Cambodia. You know that moment when Spencer goes to Abby Maria, like, hey, can I have your vote? And Abby kind of smiles like, oh, now you want my vote. That's Whitney just looking at Brent talking. Eventually she's going to go like, you're going home. Like, we're going to need somebody like, almost like, you know how Dan's funeral starts with him quarantining, you know, his solitary confinement. Someone's going to have to go in there, put Hannah in one room and lock her in there, and then go get Whitney and put her in another room and lock her in there, because they are dying. They are dying to tell him. I know that they want to embarrass him at the same time, but I mean, it's got to be right there. They want it so bad.
It's not, at least we're not like in jury yet, right? Like that would be the thing that somebody would tell him to like try and win him some favor over. But there's no reason. He's just going to leave. He's just going home. I guess the battle bag, I guess if somebody thinks there's a battle bag and maybe it's worth to have them sort of in their pocket. Oh man, I hope not. I really hope not.
All right. Let's go back to the Tiffany and Azza conversation. We saw Xavier and Azza. They are talking through about Azza did not like what Xavier did, but she understands where it's coming from. Is looking out for the cookout. But what Azza still wants to know is, why did you throw the competition? Why did you go for Brittany and not Derek? And Chappelle, I know you wanted to talk about this. I did feel like that Tiffany was a little short with Azza. Like I didn't think that she necessarily like eased Azza's concerns.
No, because Tiffany wants Azza to be okay with just like, hey, don't worry about it. It's Brent. She won't tell her everything that she knows. She's keeping Azza at a distance. And so Azza, of course, can read that there's something going on here that I'm missing, because it makes sense if you explain it to me, but you're not explaining it to me. And I think that the Tiffany feels like I've already explained it enough. Like, logically speaking, this is what we needed to happen. It happened. Be okay with it. And Azza's like, no. I need to know emotionally why you would do this so publicly. You know, like, Brittany sees this. We all see this. Derek X is right there. So it's not like you couldn't have done this without, you know, targeting Brittany so blatantly. And so I think Azza just wants to be heard and to know that, like, Tiffany actually cares about what she's talking about. And Tiffany's not giving her that either. So they're kind of just, like, at a standstill where they're looking at the game and two separate, like lights. And they both can acknowledge that, too. Like, we're just looking at this differently. The problem, I think, for Tiffany is that at the end of the game, like, a lot of time logic goes out the window. People vote for who they like the best. And if people are like, you treated us like chess moves and like game pieces and you didn't really get to know us and this, that, and other. And people, if she's sitting next to somebody like Azza, Brittany's like, Azza, you always came to my rescue. You always consoled me. You volunteered to go up on the block for me. You know, they see this. People see the way Azza is tending to Brittany. And so if you get in the final two, you risk the chance of, you know, people saying, well, I prefer that type of game to your type of game. game, but you also don't want Aza in the jury poisoning the jury against you and being like, Tiffany doesn't care about y'all. All she cares about is winning. She doesn't mind. She doesn't mind embarrassing you. She doesn't mind putting you up like this was all the Brent thing was her idea. Brittany as a pawn was her idea. You know, she's just going down the line. And as the mayor of the jury house, she could be turning them against Tiffany. So Tiffany really needs to pay attention to what Aza is saying, because logic doesn't always appeal to everyone.
You know, it's so wild, Grace, that the Joker's team like happened to like all be like this team of like the players who sort of like see the world through like the same lens in the Big Brother house. Like they're all sort of like and again, I don't know if this is just like a coincidence, or do you think it was that they sort of like grew up like with their leader, like Frenchie,
like mind melded together.
It's weird that all three of them have like this similar emotional view of the house.
I mean, I thought the scene too was interesting when like Tiffany stops us as she's like in the, and she's like, hey, like not to put you on the spot, but like, are you with us? Like, I was like, oh, that is exactly putting you on the spot. Like right in this moment being like, are you with all of us who are right here? And so I think to like Chappelle's point, yeah, they are like together. They sort of have that mind meld thing going on. But I do think like, you do have to, where's Aza going to go, I guess, is like the question of like, if you're sort of like not totally excluding her, but in some ways, the show sort of like presented that of like, she's a little bit on the outs, not being like, she wants to be part of the decision making. She wants to be part of, and I guess, you know, would the decision have been the same, and would Aza have been okay with it if they explained it to her more? Like, maybe not. And so, but I do think they have to be careful about, just like that feeling of like oscillating Aza.
Also, I think Aza is largely out of the loop. It's because of her own doing. You know, the cookout alliance was, you know, they had decided, and Aza was one of the people who came up with this idea that we don't need to spend a lot of time together. So Aza very much spent time alone, away from the more strategic side of the house, because she knew she was good, you know. And so she spent a lot of time with Brittany and with her own team, and, you know, bonding over, you know, Frenchie leaving and things of that nature, to where she does have an emotional connection with a lot of people, but she does not have that same strategic connection with these people either. So, I mean, a lot of this, it falls on right on her. But, you know, again, this is a popularity contest. This is a game for votes. And so if Aza feels like she's not being heard, and her feelings are not being like taken into consideration, there's a good chance you lose her vote in the end. So maybe you start to consider, maybe she doesn't need to make the jury, or maybe I need to repair that before, you know, moving forward. I don't think Tiffany honestly can see that that might be a problem for her in the jury vote.
Yeah, I think that the wildest scenarios for next week all involve the Jokers getting power. I think that, Melissa, that I feel like that for all of these plans that are going on in the house, I feel like that's the thing that really disrupts things the most.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because it does feel like the Jokers are kind of on their own at this point and are being kind of just used a little bit, but aren't like fully integrated into like the strategic core really of the house. I definitely think that if the Jokers win HOH, I don't really know what's going to happen, to be honest. It did sound like, from what I've recently seen, that Brittany doesn't want to win it. She wants to throw it to one of the other Jokers, and that they were talking about getting Alyssa out, but who knows what's going to happen really if they win HOH. I really don't know. And I do think that, like, I think, like, you guys all have great points about, you know, the Tiffany Aza thing. And I think I can empathize with both, but I do feel like Tiffany should, there's a way to give somebody enough information while making them feel like confident in the two of you and your, you know, alliance and your strategy and whatever, without having to reveal everything. And I think that she could have done a little better with that. I think that she could have, you know, number one, been a little more empathetic, or at least pretended to be, or at least made Aza feel, you know, like Chappelle said, heard. And then also at the same time, given some information, I guess enough information to make Aza feel more comfortable with why they were throwing that competition. And then at the same time, not reveal too much. And I think there's like a way to like finesse it a little bit. And I didn't really see that. And I do think that we might all need to be a little worried if Aza's in the jury, just because she might be an emotional juror. And it's hard to know who she's going to vote for, what she's going to do, if she's going to, you know, I don't know. And so if I'm in the House and I'm looking at Azza, I would not really want her to be in the jury just because she's very, she seems to be a little unpredictable. So yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried about, if I'm in the House, I'm worried about working with Azza moving forward as well, because she would make possibly like emotional decisions. Like Tiffany is saying, this is the logical move. And Azza's like, yeah, but I don't care because I don't want Brittany on the block. And like, you know, it just, it would be hard to work with somebody like that in a game like Big Brother.
Yeah. I guess my question is like, what is Tiffany worried about, that Azza is going to then like tell the other jokers about what Tiffany has going on potentially with Derek X?
Well, I think part of the problem is that Azza is not involved in Tiffany's other alliances.
Yeah.
Other
so is it out. Like, I know what it's good for Tiffany, but is what she's doing actually good for Azza?
I don't think it's that great for Azza, just because it basically is saying that Azza's, one of Azza's allies, Brittany, is expendable. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I'm Azza, I would be concerned about that, because I'd be like, well, she's not expendable to me. I don't know why you guys seem to think she's so expendable. Who are you working with other than like the cookout? What's going on?
Yeah.
So
and why does my voice not count in terms of like what we're doing?
Right. I think that Azza has every right to be a little like put off by this whole thing. But from Tiffany's perspective, like, you know, it doesn't make sense to involve Azza. Yeah. Like it's like. Just like, you know, I think she could have done a better way of saying, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like she could have made it more like, more couched it as like, oh, this makes sense for our team because of this, that, and the other thing. But like, we don't want Brittany to go. We like love Brittany. You know what I mean? There could have been like some more like emotional thrown into the logical of this conversation. I don't know.
I mean, the like Azza's counter proposal is like, put me up. Like, it's such a weird, I mean, and I feel like you can just like, there has to be some way to get through if it's like, that is not a good plan, like to put you up. Yeah. I know, like, there's things like, okay, well, there's no way Azza would go home, but you're on the block. Like, if you think that there's a reason why Brittany could go home, then there's a reason why you could go home. And so just really trying to sell the like, okay, that like your plan is not, and I don't like be nicer than that. Like your plan is not a good plan, but basically if you can convince her that her plan is not a good plan, okay, well then we had to go with Brittany. You know, I feel like there's just a way, it is a really challenging thing to do. I think to like tell somebody like, yeah, we're going to like your ally is the most expendable of any of like of the allies. But I feel like she could have done a better job at it, but.
Yeah, it's hard because it's like Azza's plan is a bad plan, like to put her on the block, but it's a bad plan because they don't see Brittany as one of their allies. And I think that's the disconnect, is that Azza sees Brittany as an ally, whereas the rest of the cookout, or maybe not Derek F, but like the rest of the cookout, meaning basically Xavier and Tiffany, they don't see Brittany as their ally. So it's like, well, why would I put an ally up on the block when we can just as easily put up a non-ally? Like, what's the problem there? But that's where the disconnect is that they just don't see Brittany in the same way.
And I wonder if Azza might feel that I am actually more comfortable with being the pawn, because I don't trust that you're not going to flip the vote against Brittany. Whereas like, I trust that actually you're not going to flip the vote against me. I trust Xavier, you're not going to actually try to flip the vote against me. I don't trust that you're not going to at the last second decide to get rid of my ally.
Yeah, but see, that's not great, because, you know, you could trust, you know, everything in your gut could be telling you that you're going to stay, and you could just be wrong. You know, they could cut bait. They could say, okay, well, if Azza's willing to go this far to save Brittany, maybe we don't need Azza. I mean, Azza looks at Brittany as an ally, but more importantly, they're on the same team. So if Brittany wins HOH, Azza is safe for the week. And I think she's looking at the numbers around her. If Brittany goes home, they've already lost Frenchie. There's only two of them that can win HOH and save themselves for the week. They don't, and you know, and make sure that they're not in danger. And so maybe just for that matter, she needs to keep Brittany there. I think Azza's problem is the same thing as Tiffany's. Tiffany needs to sprinkle some more emotion in the logic, but Azza has to use some other logical reasoning aside from, I don't want Brittany up, you know, as a way to incentivize them to keep her off the block or to put Azza up. Like, it's got to be something better than just like, I'm tired of hearing Brittany crying, or I didn't want to see her like this. Cause she tells Xavier, like, this is exactly what I was saying. I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want to see her like that. Okay, Aza, well, as far as the game goes, though, what does that mean, right? What do you have for me that would say, like, what does it benefit you being up there? Maybe if Aza said, hey, put me up, then nobody will think we'll ever work together or something like that, you know? And then maybe that hides the cookout anymore. Just bring something else to the table as opposed, you know, opposed to like, oh, but this shouldn't be happening to Brittany. She doesn't need this. Like, I was like, okay, we got that. But what about me? What do you got for me? I think Taryn talks about that all the time. You need to be talking about how this benefits me from my perspective, not yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I feel like it's like when she's like, well, I don't want to see Brittany up there on the block. It's like, yeah, well, we don't want to see like anyone necessarily like on the block that's our friend. Like, you don't that, but that's the game. Like mm-hmm. that's going to happen. You're going to have people on the block that you don't want on the block. As long as it's not you, like, okay. I don't know. I just, it's hard when there's like, it does seem like there's really no logic behind Azza's argument. It's like her argument is just that she doesn't like seeing a friend, you know, be sad. And it's like, well, yeah, nobody does, but like, but this is a game, you know, and it's going to happen. I don't know.
For all that being said, should Xavier just have put her up? And it, like, would it created the least amount of like friction to just like?
I was saying that the other night, but nobody else seemed to like that idea.
Well, see, it could like for friction purposes, yes. Brittany's not crying.
Win for everybody.
Brittany is mad at you. I don't know
if it's a win-win because if I'm Xavier and I'm like, okay, like we have the cookout, you know, they always talk about this is bigger than us. This is all, and I want to talk about that too, but you know, they always talk about this is bigger than us. And you know, we're doing something that, you know, has never been seen before. We haven't had a lot of black people making it to the jury, but could you imagine being the black guy who put up the black woman and then she went home and the first time he like, we had an agreement and then you screwed it up. So from Xavier's point of view, he's like, that's not going to be on my head. But you know, I could see why he would be like, no, I'm not risking that because y'all not going to be looking at me crazy because somebody got a wild hair and decided to flip the vote, you know, or maybe Aza does something and everybody's like, well, since she's up there, let's go ahead and get rid of her. You know, like Tiffany is a gamer. So, you know, all things else aside, like, you know, like, hey, this is for a larger cause, but also it's a game. I got to win. So if we're looking at Aza up there as somebody who's willing to sacrifice themselves for Brittany, someone who's not in the cookout, maybe she can go. I wouldn't have argued too much against it, honestly, the way she was acting this week. So I could see it going either way. I think there's a way to kind of address what Aza's saying to keep the friction apart, as opposed to like risking something that you are really fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to say anything else with the cookout, Chappelle?
Yeah, let me talk about this. So people, I'm seeing rumblings, right? Like, oh, this is racist. All the black people then linked up. This, that, other. Black people are not a monolith. We are not all the same. So this particular alliance is hanging on by a crumb. Like, this is by a thread. Like, this is it. Like, it's barely, this is not like, oh, we all signed some black blood pact and we're going to the end or else. Like, no, at the end of the day, this is for a significantly smaller amount of money than most game shows at this point, but like a money nonetheless, you know? And so like, there's an incentive to win the game and there's also incentive to, you know, have this cultural moment, but this does not work with everybody not being on the same page. Last year, in All-Stars, we had three black people and they couldn't get on the same page. So the idea that these six or seven, I think that there's seven, six in the cookout and then seven total with Hannah, because I think she's kind of on the periphery of that, but they can get it together. It's impressive, but also not some type of like, oh, now they're going to steamroll the house, because the moment they get to the jury, I guarantee you all bets are off. People are going to start looking at who they can align with to win. That's another mistake Aza is making. She does not have a lot of people who are willing to play the jury game with her, whereas Kylan has Sarah Beth with him. And, you know, to an extent, Tiffany has Claire, depending on what day of the week it is. You know, like it, those other relationships matter. So before everybody gets caught up in like, oh my gosh, the Cullets, you know, like, please understand that if this does not benefit them, they will not stick to it, because this would, like, Davon and David Alexander could not get on the same page to save their lives. And there was three of them in the house. Like, that was it. So yeah, this is not some inherent, you know, advantage that they have. It's just good to see sometimes. And that's why I think a lot of people are able to rally behind something different for once, you know?
Right. And I think it's a really great point, because, you know, that you see those people like on Twitter that are like, oh, this is racist. The black people are just getting together and they're just going to vote out the white people. And it's like, I think it's like a really good lesson that just because there are five black people in the house doesn't mean that they're always going to be on the same page. And you can't assume, just like if there's five women in the house and five black people, like they're not, everybody's not going to have the same ultimate incentive. They're not all going to work together. Just like any other five people wouldn't necessarily work together because they had any sort of shared background.
Yeah, I mean, even look at Marcellus and Danielle Reyes. This is a good example. They played twice together, and I don't think they were ever on the same page at all. Like, she viciously blindsides him the first time, and then the second time, he can't trust her to not blindside him the second time, and she wants to save him, and they could just never get on the same page. And then, like I said, when you look at Davon and David, they were not able to get on the same page. This is not the first time we've had multiple black people in the house at the same time, and they have not been able to get on the same page. You know, like, we weren't like, oh, what are Jocasta and Devin going to do? You know, like, nobody thought these things were going to happen beforehand. So, like, this preconceived notion that this is a solid alliance is going to go all the way to the end. Yeah, it's fun to think about, and we would like to see, oh, okay, they made the jury. This was momentous. But, you know, personal gain is going to be taken into consideration a lot of times. And I could see them very, very well start looking at each other like, how do I beat the next person? And that's what a lot of this week has been. A lot of this week has been, we got Brent out of the way. He's going home. Let's not worry about it. Let's just start moving pieces so that when we get to the jury, I got my army versus your army versus this army. And then we can see who makes it at the end. So I think there's a lot more. It's a lot more interesting than all the black people have gotten together to vote out the white people.
Okay. Let's talk about some really interesting stuff here. Let's talk about Chrysalis. Okay, it's happening. It's happening. Grace, are you here for this love story of Chrysalis?
Yep, here for the showmance. That's why I watch Big Brother, for the showmance every season. So finally got one.
Grace, full of unpopular opinions this podcast.
Yes.
And favorite. Unpopular.
Yeah. Grace, did you want to talk about how great Frenchie was while you were here also tonight?
Yeah, no.
This was wild. Okay, so we get this scene in the HOH room, and so they have like the world's tiniest blanket. It's really like a napkin that they're gonna cover themselves with. I was confused about what was going on here. Here's Christian.
My eyes are getting kind of sensitive to the light, so I'm just gonna pull this up.
I was like, is he trying to hypnotize her? He's like,
Yeah, he's like,
I was like, that's not right. You should not, they should not try to hypnotize a woman like that. But no, he was saying that his eyes, that like, again, fluorescent light, we better cover up under this blanket and protect our eyes
and lips. So,
the way he was saying it was just so weird. My eyes,
yeah.
It's like, this is the new move these days. Is he just, oh, it's so bright in here. Better get a blanket.
So bright in here.
Oh my god! Are you? Oh, is just, it bright?
Yeah.
Is it bright to you? Let's just kiss. How about we just kiss? Let's do that.
Yeah. And so they're under that blanket again, doing, you know, who knows? We don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? And then with the great moment where Xavier walks in.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Yeah.
In my bed.
Yeah.
In my bed, Rob.
Yeah.
Burn it. Burn the bed. Just set it in place. Like, you remember that chair that used to be in the shower? You remember
stool?
That chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, the stool. This is the same kind of concept. Like, burn it. Burn it. we don't need the HOH bed. It's fine. I'll sleep on the floor.
I'd much prefer a Hannah and Derek X segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd much more prefer that, to be honest.
Christian lives at home. Not the first time his dad walked in on him, Melissa.
Probably not a great thing to bring up. I was like, really? You like mention this in the DR? Okay. Ugh, God, I don't know. That whole little scene was just like, get it. Next scene.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love this.
I like when Xavier leaves and they're kind of like, oh my gosh, we got caught. Oh my gosh. You're like, he's like, I told you this could happen. Oh yeah, but you didn't pull back. Oh my God. Like, you said it, but you were thinking it. Like, okay. Like, this is precious, but also it's a game. People are going to start looking at you like a pair. Like, we do this every year, you guys. Like, yeah. You need to, you should have been like, Xavier, don't you want to be in the Alliance? Don't you want to get in the bed? You know, like,
at that point, are there the lights bright in here, Xavier?
Yeah, are there bright lights? Yeah. Yeah, like, this is,
you were a solar eclipse, Xavier, bring your eyes.
You were kissing a target right onto you, on each other's lips. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was Xavier actually mad about this, Melissa? Do we know?
I don't know. I thought that he like mentioned it, but I don't think he was like actually like mad about it.
Because teammates.
Yeah, I feel like it's like, I mean, if I was Xavier, I would be like, please do this in your own bed. Like, don't do this in my bed. But, you know, I don't think that he was like actually like mad, but.
Yeah. Although Xavier does wear that bucket hat all the time, and he may know that like that the lights are very bright in the house.
It may be real.
Oh shoot, Grace! Did Grace?
Yeah,
Frenchie caught this. Frenchie said this. Yeah. He's mine. Frenchie said that this was a showman, and y'all laughed at Frenchie. Y'all said that he didn't know what he was talking about. Frenchie, his mind, so iconic, so powerful. Who knew? Frenchie, that's who.
Plan went right as it intended.
Yeah. Frenchie. Do you want to apologize to Frenchie, Grace?
You all owe him.
I'm Frenchie's biggest fan. Why do I need to apologize?
Grace, I'm expecting a notes app apology by the end of the day to at Farmer Frenchie.
He's back.
Wait,
on
I mean,
Twitter.
He's back.
I saw.
Yeah, okay. He's back on Twitter. He doesn't follow me though, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
Who had 6 days on their betting card for the amount of time that Frenchie
would be? I thought he was going to be back by the end of the weekend. He said in his exit press that he's like, oh no, I'm going to be for a while. It's not going to be for a while. I'm going to be reflecting. And so Wednesday he came back and he tweeted, y'all bored yet or what? Like, yeah.
And then wasn't there another tweet that was like, I got just the reaction.
There was another one, like a follow-up to it.
He got us again.
He got us one more time.
That Frenchie, man. Yeah. Wow. Classic Frenchie.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the veto yet. All right. Bowl Arena is back tonight. We had Xavier picking Christian. Brent picked Derek F. Brittany picked Whitney. And we'll see. You like the Bowl Arena?
I feel like Bowl Arena is a competition with diminishing returns, I think. I think that every time they do it, it's just a little less good. I don't know. I feel like the first time it's like, oh, it's so goofy and silly because they're all falling all over the place. But then it's like, oh, okay, like the tutus and like the bowling and the spinning. It's like the puking almost. Like, I don't know. It's not my favorite, to be honest. Like I would say the first time they did it, like 6 million years ago, it was interesting. But now it's like, nah.
Grace, what was the premise for this challenge? So there was a party and then the room number was.
You got to get to, you got to bowl to get into the room at the fancy party. We've all been.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. College. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. In the first round, Brittany versus Brent. Brent really wanted to rub Xavier's face in it. Brent moves on. Brent's able to do it.
Take that. So,
you showed him. So here's the thing. This is the perfect challenge for the type of week we're having for Brent, right? Like, they want to bury Brent. They are doing it. It's subtle. A little bit, you know, and it is kind of getting heavier and heavier. Like, it started off with like the women just don't like him, to like now he wants to rub it in their faces, but like they secretly are going to get him out. And then they show this challenge where he's literally vomiting, and Xavier doesn't even hide the fact that he's going after Brent. Like, we're past the am I the target. He's like, that's fine, you can know you're the target because you still think you're staying and you're okay with it. You're okay with your position as it stands right now. And so now we get to laugh at you literally spin your way into vomit. You know, like, he just made himself sick trying to win this competition because he has to rub it in Xavier's face. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I have a question. When it came down to the end, it was Christian, Derek F., and Brent, right? Was that the final three?
No.
Xavier got rid of Brent.
Yeah, Christian and Xavier were the last two, and then it was Big D versus Whitney before that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Big D
got eliminated by Christian. Like,
Brittany got eliminated by Brent. Yeah, Brittany got taken out by Brent. Xavier took out Brent. Then I think from there was Derek F versus Whitney. Christian beat Derek F, and then Xavier backdoored and beat. Well, Christian backdoored and beat Xavier. So that's kind of how it worked out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine this week. Whatever. Like Brent didn't win, and then he's like, "Oh, it was my plan. I don't even need to win. They don't even need to use it. Like it's fine." I just think the format of it is a bit like it's so easy to just like make the people who you want to get out of the competition play a bunch in a row. I feel like it's a bit broken. But,
I was wondering. I was wondering if they allowed them to like not go back to back, or like if you had to choose someone who hadn't just gone, or like I was wondering if they kind of mixed it up, and that's why I got confused. But
no, because Brent went twice in a row, and Big D went twice in a row. I think.
Yeah.
If you get challenged, you got to go, I guess. But you know what did bother me is that this was the longest explanation for a challenge I've ever heard in my life. Sarah Beth's voice I've grown accustomed to it. Like it has grown on me. I really do enjoy her. I've listened to her on the feeds, and like she just has like a very soothing voice to me. And so I did fall asleep during this challenge. I fell asleep during the challenge because of her. Thank you. Because this was the longest explanation. It was like, this is the BB Beach House, and then after the Beach House we had a rager, and then after the rager we went bowling, and then after we went bowling we went to the couch, and then we went to the couch and we spun around because we're ballerinas. And then I was like, oh man, Sarah Beth, please. Just
I was gonna
yada,
say,
yada, yada, yada.
Felt like we were watching a cartoon or something because I heard her voiceover and it was just like, all right, guys, welcome to the Big Brother Beach House. It was like, what are we watching? Like, I thought we were watching Pokemon. It was like Ash Ketchum or something. I was like, whoa.
Melissa, do it again.
That's Sarah Beth impression.
Do it again.
Didn't it sound like that? She's like, let's go, guys. Next up. I was like, oh my god, this is like, I really thought they brought in like a voiceover actor, like just like over like the like system, and then I was like, oh no, that's Sarah Beth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my god. It sounded like Angelica Pickles was like, all right, you stupid babies.
Like, or something. I really thought that. I was so confused, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was good. I thought she did a good job.
It was incredible.
Melissa, you should still be doing the voice acting, Melissa. You were so good. You should still be doing this.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Michaels is the literal voice of the people, Melissa.
Is that what the people sounds like? Yeah. That's our voice.
Yeah. all right. So ultimately, Christian is going to win the power of veto. Brent has one more plan because that he is a mastermind. Okay. He's really.
This is a perfect plan. I'm pleasantly surprised with how my mind is working in this game.
What a pleasant surprise it is, Grace, because Brent realizes he can't let Christian use the veto.
Yeah, don't even use it on me. Don't use it at all. I got to sit next to Brittany, and then I won't go home. I'm very surprised at how well my brain is working today. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
My brilliant brain.
It's working perfectly.
Surprised.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about his plan is, you know what? I don't even want Christian to use the veto. I'd be like, you know what? I need to know, has this ever worked for anybody? Has anybody ever said, you know what? Leave me on the block because it's better for my game. Does this happen often? Like,
no,
I can go home tomorrow.
No. Yeah.
Is there precedent? Is there a method to this man's madness? What do we have?
No, I know most recently in Big Brother Canada, it did not work.
I was crunching the numbers as he was saying, and I was thinking, like, if you're not on the block, you have a 0% chance of going home. But I don't know.
Are you an accountant, Grace?
I'm not an accountant, and I don't really know how to crush those numbers.
Are you a flight attendant?
No. Yeah. So that. He had a great scene with Kylan, and he tells Kylan about the plan. All right, here is the plan. And Kylan is incredulous.
Kylan is all of us. Yeah, I feel like he really encapsulated how we all were feeling at the time. I mean, it's like it, you never expect it to like work out that perfectly, that they want you to get in a room with like the people that you're working with. And like, you're supposed to just like meet up in front of them because they know that they're asking you to do this thing that's not in their best interest. Like, the whole thing didn't make any sense. It was like, if I was in the house, I would have been like, my mind just would have been blown. Cause it's like, you're really asking me to do this. You're asking me to meet up with people who are trying to get you out to talk about like, all doesn't make sense.
That's
it
right.
All doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I feel like Xavier thought he was getting punked when they came up to the room. Cause he says like, so let me get this straight. Hold on. He planned for y'all to align with us so that we won't use the veto on him. So then we can all vote him out.
Yeah.
Like, I love them all repeating the steps of the plan back to college.
That's the plan.
You heard right.
Do you think it's possible that Frenchie and Brent were plants by CBS who went into the house with the intent purpose of sort of like getting the season off on like a hot start?
Just fly in there and just like create havoc and entertain.
It's quite a Joe Schmo show, Melissa. Right. Like, you know, there's 13, 14 like real contestants, but we're going to throw in like two moles.
Who was the guy on Celebrity Big Brother?
Scaramucci.
Yeah.
They did it once before. I wouldn't put it past them this time. Give them extra money Brent to come champagne. In
yeah.
And get out early.
His name is Frenchie. I mean,
he told you. It's kind of unexpected. Yeah,
clearly fake names. This is I think we've discovered.
Hey, champagne is French. Put it together.
Oh my god! We figured it out, guys.
Frenchie and Brent champagne.
We know what's up.
This is bad. This is bad all over, and it's hard to watch. Honestly, like, oh, Queen Latifah, give me strength. I don't understand. He thinks he's the puppet, the puppeteer, but he is the puppet because I'm the puppeteer. Like, stop. You know, the producers are asking him for all these sound bites. Like,
right.
He's the puppeteer in this situation. I'm the puppeteer. Do you think Xavier is going to like, no, I'm going to rub this in his face. You should rub this in his face. Yeah, I am. If I'm the producer, I'm like, yeah, do that.
They're like, they constantly are getting him to say like, I'm not worried because I have the votes. Like,
right.
Oh, it's just like, so bad.
Brent, I'm sorry we didn't hear that last part. Are you worried? Do you have the votes? Yeah, no, I'm not worried. I don't have the votes. One more time, louder again. Yeah. Could you just enunciate? All right, thank you.
Look directly into the camera. 5 times throughout the episode. Yeah. Yeah. It really did, though. It was like literally every single DR he was in, it was him saying he's not worried because he has the votes.
They closed the show with a great diary room from Xavier, who is one of the best in the season in the diary room. This is Xavier talking about giving the flight announcement for Brent.
I think that would further my game. Oh. Not boy, your ass going home.
that wasn't the one where he did the like. Okay.
That was the classic. All right,
we don't need everybody to sit down.
That was great. Got it. Well, because like on a normal season, I feel like I keep saying that on a normal season, but it's like you could envision a situation where Brent comes up with this like plan or whatever. And then the person is like, you know, this actually might work. And then everything gets flipped. And so you might, as a casual viewer, be watching and be like, oh, Xavier might actually go for this. And then he just psych, not doing it. Sorry, Brent.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right. I have questions.
Yes.
Who gets to be the person to tell Brent that this happened, right? Because let's say it does, like the blind side goes on without a hitch. He comes out, he sits with Julie, and Brent, what were you doing? Maybe she hits him outside the head like Marcellus or something like that. But when does he get the footage? Like, go directly backstage and they're like, okay, let me show you the highlights, like in your jury house?
I don't think so. Yeah.
I need to know.
I think that a good question that you bring up is like, what will Julie tell him? Will Julie reveal the cookout? Does she reveal the royal flush? Like, what's the version of there's an alliance called the committee?
There's an alliance called really been all the people in the house
revealing much, right?
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't really been. I was watching with my mom. My mom was like, "There must be a battle back because she's not revealing anything." I was like, "Wow, very good, mom. You're catching on how the Edward." But no, I don't think there's a battle back. They're all out of the house, but she hasn't been really revealing anything. I don't think Brent will ever watch an episode of Big Brother ever.
Yeah,
this is it.
He's not seeing any of this footage.
I think she would reveal something if it was like one person, like an ally of his betrayed him. It'd be like, well, guess what? Your ally was actually in an alliance. Or like, I think she might do that. But I don't think in this situation she would like necessarily need to reveal anything. I think she would just be like, Brent, what happened? You were so confident. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be like, yeah, like, well, I saw this coming because I'm a huge threat. Like, I'll just like play out the interview
for you.
He's going
to give him the Britney rap situation. Like, well, it's the best campaign, the campaign I've seen.
From you this summer.
From you. Yeah.
That was like a weird thing for her to say, like, by the way. I haven't gotten a chance to comment on that yet. But the fact that she was like, that was the best rap I've seen from you this summer.
This time.
Okay. Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to lie about it. Because I'm not going to say it was the best rap I've ever seen. But I will say it was the best one that you have given.
If Britney raps tomorrow, Melissa, do you think she says, well, hold on, hold the phone. That was the new best rap of the summer from you.
Oh, yeah, she'll either say that or she'll be like, you know what? Doesn't top your first one. Sorry.
I like the last one better.
Honestly,
I'm kidding.
Sophomore slump.
Honestly, if Britney starts rapping, you would have to expect for me to flip my vote at that point. I'm sorry. I would have to do it. I like Britney. I sadly vote to evict you because you just won't stop. You just will not stop rapping. I know people sat you down this week and said, hey, keep it cute. You ain't got to do this no more. We did it once.
They did say
it
that. Happened. Yeah,
you don't have to go there anymore. You don't have to live like this. If she starts rapping, I'm fine with the house flipping. It's fine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, she doesn't. Is
a rap coming tomorrow night?
It better not.
I thought that she wasn't going to do it. I had thought that like they had said. My thought was that I had heard that she was going to do one at the veto ceremony because the people want it, but that like she's not going to do it at the eviction because like they had said like no, keep it simple. Like you already did it once. You had the people cheering for you, but now you know. Keep it simple. Like
Grace, what if they're too good? People are clamoring for more.
I mean, I don't know if they're too. I mean, they are too good. That is really why we're talking. They're too good of raps to even be. You know, this is free television.
So you're saying that look, you get CBS for free. This should be like if this was like something people should have to pay for this.
Yeah. Pay per view.
Yeah. Like a cameo or something like that, maybe. Yeah. Which
I cannot watch Britney cameo raps. That's kind of
She should just save the raps for cameo. You know, just bottle them up and just keep them to yourself until you get to cameo, and then you can just charge people for it. Britney, we just need to talk about your business plan here. I don't need it, but what I do need, you know, last week we kind of had like Britney rapping. I think was it Jacob Jones who went viral because he did his window GIF or video of Window saying like Chris Noble has no bars. Well, this week I think we have the poverty moment of her life. This is the dumbest move in Survivor history ever. Forever. Like I want Hannah to do that. I want Hannah to be like, Brent, you did this to you. Everybody wanted you out. You let us do this. You led us to this. This was your doing. How powerful your mind is. Goodbye. Go away. Adios. Like I need it to happen. I want it.
All right. We'll see. So much intrigue going into tomorrow night. Let's take some questions from the listeners. Of course, you can send us your questions before every show. robinswebsite.com/BB questions. This is one from Alex. How does Brent think Alyssa is a number for him, despite the fact that she's on Xavier's team? Melissa, when he rattled off all the people with him, Alyssa was the last person. He said, not Christian, only Alyssa.
I think, well, he thinks he has some sort of relationship with Alyssa. He thinks that Alyssa likes him and that they have a connection. And like, you know, he's a little delusional in terms of like, I was going to say a little might be an understatement, but he's a little delusional in terms of like who he thinks likes him. And it seems to me that he thinks all the women like him a lot. And so he does think Alyssa and him have a connection.
Yeah.
His eyes would have to be closed to not see that Alyssa and Christian are at least could be on the same page with the vote. And he's not naming Christian at all. You would at least be saying like, and I have Alyssa, so that's probably going to get me Christian vote too. Like, no, he's acknowledging that like, no, I only have one half of that obvious pair, you know, that happens to be on the same team as the person on the block.
Like, why would Alyssa and Christian not be on the same page in terms of like, Christian didn't use the veto. Like, I don't know. It's like, you would think that if they were on the same page and they were like working together, or he would like definitely have her vote, that she and Christian would be like on the same page.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. You make a good point, but he crunched the numbers. So
he crushed them. Is it crush or crunch?
I can't remember.
He crushed them.
It is crunch, but he said crushed. So you should just know that he's going to say it wrong. Whatever the phrase may be. He's
going to
say it wrong.
Yes.
I shouldn't even be a flight attendant.
I should become an accountant because I'm absolutely crushing these numbers.
Yeah. And he also, he said another one today that was wrong during the episode. Another phrase. I don't remember. The chat was talking about it earlier, but whatever. He like just can't get those phrases right.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, listen, I was born late, but I wasn't born last night.
Yeah, he's like, I was born late, but it wasn't born last night. What?
Yeah,
I mean, both those things could be true. Like, I mean, first off, when like was his mom post term?
Yeah.
Look, it's not that it's not true. It's not that I think he's lying about that. It's that it doesn't mean anything.
Is he one day old?
He never said those statements were correlated.
These are sentences.
Two separate thoughts.
Yeah. I'm just telling you things.
Yeah. Brent facts.
Okay. Brent facts. Highly intelligent wants to know, if teams end after the fourth person is evicted, do you think anyone will target a former team member?
People are already targeting their team members. So, I wouldn't put it past any of them.
Yeah, it could happen. Okay. Brent's $6 steak. I like these original names. Shouldn't Christian have let Xavier win the veto? I think that Xavier seemed very happy with the results. Seemed happy to let Christian make himself more of a target and not put a bigger target on his back. I think that's what Xavier's game has been the whole way through of threat management, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think for Christian, it might have made more sense for him to not win it. But, I do think that it ends up with the same result, really. I don't think anybody is... I mean, it's like if Brent is going to be on the block anyway and Brent is going to be the one going home, like he would be the only one that necessarily be like upset that Christian didn't use the veto. I mean, maybe Brittany might be upset, but I mean, the odds of him using it on Brittany or Brent, like it's not something people would be shocked by that he didn't use it.
Okay.
I would have loved to see them both trying to throw it just at the end, just spinning around forever. Like, throwing it to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take this question from Nicole Hantz. Who is going to try to actually win the HOH tomorrow versus who's actively trying to throw it? And is it smart for anyone to throw the HOH right now in the game? Let's just simplify it a little bit and just deal with who's going to try to win the HOH tomorrow?
Brent.
Yes. Yes. Number one.
I think everybody should be trying to win. I feel like nobody should be throwing it. I don't think that anybody's in a safe enough position to just throw the competition. I think, I do know that Brittany talked about throwing it, which is not good for her. I mean, she needs power at this point. Or else she's just going to keep getting put up on the block over and over again. It's like, some of the people who are talking about like, I don't really need to have it. I mean, I had heard that Whitney and Hannah were saying they were going to throw it. Now I don't think they are anymore. But at one point they were talking about that they were going to throw it. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you guys doing this? Like, just you need to win. Like, nobody is in a good enough position or such a safe position that they don't need to win anything. It's like, I don't know where that's coming from. Everyone at this point needs to be gunning for it. And that's just what I think.
All right.
I think it sounded like Brittany was saying like it potentially that like if one of her teammates is going to win it, then she'll throw it, I guess. But
I think she should win it. You know, like I feel like she doesn't have any agency in the game. She doesn't have any power in the game. And I think that she needs to gain that by winning something and having people want to try and work with her, having people give her even just like a deal for the week, being like, hey, like I won't put you up next week if you want, like I don't want you to be a pawn, all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, I don't know. I think that they should be trying.
All right. Are you ready for tonight's live feed talk segment? Are you ready? All right, sure. Here we go. So, I mean, there's not that much. I mean, I don't want to disappoint people and not play the song.
We can play the song.
All right, so let's get to the live feed spoilers. But first, let me thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. As we make our way to the end of this long COVID tunnel, a lot of people are still feeling down and emotionally out of sorts. Now, you might not feel depressed or at a total loss, but if you are feeling a little bit off or your relationships are suffering, that could be a sign you should talk to somebody. Whether you're feeling anxious or struggling in your career, if you're having trouble sleeping, online therapy can help. Visit BetterHelp.com/RHAP, fill out a questionnaire, and help BetterHelp assess your needs and match you with a professional, licensed therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. Online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Hit the spoilers!
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God! They flipped. Brittany's going home.
You heard it here. You heard it here first.
Yes, the numbers have been crushed.
His mind, an icon.
Yes. Okay. Wow. All right. Bye bye, Brent. Tomorrow night. But I guess the story with this house is they are always thinking about what is next. Like so many of us, can't just stop and smell the roses, Chappelle. They're not being present in the moment.
They're not. I think they believe, probably correctly, that they already have this week handled, and now it's time to position ourselves for who might win HOH, what are the targets, what teams might have the most people. I think that's coming up in a conversation a lot this week, especially with the Kings being completely intact. And then, you know, of course, the Aces, you know, losing their member, and now, this other group losing their member as well. And so I think that's probably why they've like already started to maneuver themselves into next week. This week was largely about like nobody wants to be the one to you know, take the first shot. Now that it's done, everybody should be vying for like, you know, the majority alliance at this point. Like whoever wins is going to be in the best position, I think, this week to kind of dictate which direction the game goes. And so they've all just been kind of trying to just, you know, ease into that as smoothly as possible. But there's a lot of moving pieces here.
Melissa, do you think that the team's twist will end after the next eviction, or because it's going so well, do you think that they will keep it going for another couple of weeks?
I don't know. I feel like I could see it going either way. I kind of think it will end after next week just because it's getting down to such small teams that like, does it really matter at this point? I don't know. I feel like it doesn't necessarily make sense to keep it around. However, like it doesn't really matter if they keep it around or not. So I could see it lasting, but I could also see it going away.
What do you think, Grace?
The teams are so small. I mean, when we were talking about earlier, like who that people might throw it, I was like, the biggest reason I think not to throw it is that their choices are so limited. Like if you look at like Xavier, like had like one move, like that he was so worried that like if Brittany won that wildcard competition, like he'd have to put somebody up that he didn't want to put up. So the choices are becoming so slim that I think that the twist will probably end. But I think that's the reason not to throw the comp.
Yeah, they've actually been very fortunate. Production has been with that. If Brent goes home, then there will be one person to have gone home from one of three teams. The Kings will be the only team that hasn't lost somebody. I mean, if it ends up a scenario where, say, like Christian or Alyssa goes home next week, you could have potentially where the team's twist ends with each team having, you know, three people moving forward. I mean, I think that would be like a dream if you were going to be the producers of the show.
Yeah. And I think that's what the people in the house should be trying to have happen. I think that if you leave a team fully intact, that would make me nervous moving forward because, you know, they've always got that connection. Mm-hmm. You know, while, you know, it's possible that they won't totally just stick with that team, it is something that connects them and it would make me worried. I would want to get rid of someone from that team. If I am in the house, I would probably want to get rid of Christian or Alyssa, because not only are they in a foursome of a team, they're also in a showmance. And so I would want to split that up before it got any further. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good reason. Like, if you need to have a reason to target somebody, you can easily say that, hey, mm-hmm. we're the aces. We're down one. We think we need to level the playing field. So we're going after a king. Obviously, we could go after Xavier or Sarah Beth, but Xavier kept us safe last week. So mm-hmm. this week we are going after the showmance. It's no hard feelings. And it kind of plays into what they want, because Xavier would much rather lose Christian, I think, at this point. A lot of the people in the house would rather lose Alyssa, but at least it puts those two people up as options. And so I think that is one of the moves that they're looking at as far as like a best case scenario. Because from Xavier's point of view, he thinks that his team is starting to get suspicious of Hannah playing all the sides. And so in order to protect Hannah, I think it's kind of in his best interest for his team to actually lose in this spot so that they don't come after her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of intrigue heading into week number four coming up tomorrow night. Grace, do you have a prediction for the HOH?
I'm really bad at this. Let's say Claire.
Claire HOH. Yeah. Yes.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know where Claire stands, though. Like, I know that she was in Tiffany's pocket for a while, but she doesn't seem to be socially just, you know, good with everybody. She just seems to kind of almost just kind of be there. Like, she's Tiffany, like her and Tiffany kind of, they form such a good team together. But I just don't know if the rest of the house is invested in keeping her around, or at least not as invested as Tiffany is. So I would like to see for sure what she does with the HOH win, because then we can kind of see, does she have her own plan, or is she in lockstep with what she believes Tiffany's plan is right now?
Yeah, I think she's getting sort of pigeonholed on the show into the, as a super fan, I know, I think that's basically like, you know, she's going to tell us like the rules of like, even though there are other fans in the house, like that's sort of like the lane that she's getting on this season of the show. Melissa, any other stories that we should be monitoring at this hour?
Not particularly. I guess there was, you know, there was concern that Hannah was going to be the next target. And Tiffany was trying to figure out, like where she wants her place, like where her place is in the house, whether it's like she wants to go full on with the cookout or whether she doesn't know if they're, if it's right for her to move forward with them and instead to work fully with Claire. And I felt at one point in the night, she kind of decided like, okay, I'm going with Claire. We need to kind of like figure out how to kind of knock some of Kylan's power out, not get Kylan out, but to just kind of like take it so he's not as powerful with as many allies. But then it seemed like she couldn't sleep. And so she was trying to figure out how else to do it to keep the cookout around because she didn't want to, you know, go against them just yet. And she thinks she came up with a plan where, you know, they'll bring Hannah in officially maybe, and they'll kind of, she like found a way to kind of make it so that like if each person in the cookout pairs up with somebody and then they end up coming down to the end and then it ends up being her in the final two, like there was this whole like scheme that she created. And also like it did seem like there were some people in the cookout who aren't so keen on including or don't consider Hannah a part of the actual cookout. So I don't really know how that's going to pan out. But, you know, I am a little sad because I really want Tiffany and Claire to be like in it to win it final two.
Me too.
That's what I want. Like, I don't want Tiffany to feel like she has to do something for like the greater good in terms of like, I just want to make sure that the cookout gets there versus like her own game. And I think her own game, it's better for her game to be full on with Claire and then have the cookout as like her other alliance. So that way they help her get there, but she's not too reliant on them. Cause I don't feel like, I feel like what we talked about earlier, they're not all on the same page. So I think strategically it makes way more sense for her to have them as like a side thing, but be like working with Claire. So, you know, that's just my perspective, but I know there's a bunch of others. And I also think that it does seem
Melissa
like
does have Claire in the draft.
I do have Claire in the draft. She's your fair full disclosure. But yeah, like I really don't want Hannah to go. I'm worried for her. But it does seem like Hannah and Whitney are, and I've also heard Alyssa. So Hannah, Whitney and Alyssa, I think need to be a little worried coming into this next week. So
yeah.
My hope is that Hannah or Derek X wins HOH.
Yeah. And on the Hannah from, we didn't talk about this, but there was a cool moment in the episode tonight where they talked about Hannah being with the cookout. And there was, I forget who asked her, like, hey, are you good with us? And she had like such a great answer. She says, oh, it was understood coming into the house. Like, all right, good enough for me. Like that was the right answer. Like just like on the spot, like no hesitation. Like, yeah, I'm totally good with this.
Yeah, it was. So the understanding part is that they've never said like to each other, like this is an alliance. You know, they're like, we got this. We got each other's back type of thing. We, of course, on the show, we see that this is an alliance and they talk about it, you know, openly in the DRs. But up until today, no one had even told Hannah that there was a name to this understanding. Right. So I think about an hour ago, Aza was the one who said like she screwed up. She told Hannah, you know, like, hey, it's the cookout. So like Hannah's now keen to it. And then Tiffany basically just broke it down for her. Like they got a plan where they're trying to get from six. Mm-hmm. And then she told her what a core four could be. And like Tiffany's core four, I think, was going to be her, Derek X. No, I'm sorry. Her, Xavier, Kylan, and Hannah. And so I don't know how much of that to be true because she was talking to Hannah. But Hannah's very wise to it now. So I think Hannah would probably be safe if she does end up on the block this week. But she's definitely a target for some of the people in the house. I think right now they're trying to shift the target over to the Alyssa Christian side, and they might actually convince Whitney to do it. So it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's like the plan that Tiffany was talking about, like everybody has a person like this, like, you know, to map out like our pathage or whatever. I mean, it's worked. We've seen it. I guess the Brigade kind of had like everybody has their own person. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I think it's so dangerous about this. But like, it seems it's so perfect on paper, right? Like everyone picks somebody and then there's, you know, no way we'll go home. They'll go home before whatever. But it's also like, if when you're in power, this is the exact thing that like Aza is upset with Xavier about, right? Of like, well, you're putting my person up, like you're putting the like my connection up is the thing I think is so it like can sort of like you're showing your cards a bit. Who are the people who are willing to be expendable first? Like it's your it's my person, not your person. So I think that's just like a could be a risky play. I think you have to play it pretty delicately.
Yeah,
especially because a lot of the time that person, that side person ends up becoming your number one, especially when with some group like the cookout, where the cookout is like, yeah, we have an understanding, but we're not really going to like talk all the time. We're not going to be like having meetings. And if you're not having those meetings and instead you're meeting with your other person, that person becomes your number one. And I do think that that's the risk there that they're taking, is that maybe the cookout falls to the wayside and the side pieces end up becoming the number ones.
But this is what I want to see. I want the drama. I want the mess.
I think that too.
I'm ready for this to implode. Yes, I'm ready for this to implode. Like you get to the jury, you have your side person, but what happens when that person wins the veto and now we need a different side person and you have to choose between my side person and this person's side person? Why are you picking mine? What do we do? You know? So then at that point, I'm like, well, you're obviously more loyal to them than you are to me. So maybe I'm okay with you going this time. I said, I understand. I get the understanding as well. But you know, like for me, once we get to the jury, all bets are off. I'm going to do what it takes to win the game because we did it. We did the thing that we wanted to do. At no point did they say this needs to be the final. We need to be the last people standing. You know, they each have been making bonds with other people and those bonds matter. And I'm ready to see them start to take, you know, control of the game in that matter. So that's what I'm waiting for. And I can't wait to see it.
All right. Anything else from the panel? Big Brother 23 tonight.
Excited to see tomorrow. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will pick it up after the episode tomorrow night when we will be back for the eviction. It's going to be Taryn back with us, Kirsten McInnes, and Matt Scott coming up on Thursday night after the eviction. Is that going to be Brittany celebrating? We'll see. Tomorrow morning, be sure to check out what's been going on all day today in the Big Brother house and overnight with Taryn and Lita Brillman coming up on Thursday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Lita's back?
Yeah, Lita's back this season. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was on the update last week. Check out the BB Roundtable podcast. I listened to it this morning with the voice of the people, the finger of the people. Jacob Jones joined Taryn and Melissa last night to talk through all of the ratings and the week gone by on the weekly roundtable podcast. Friday, when the feeds go down for the wildcard competition, join Taryn Armstrong and me for our weekly patron-only call-in show. We take calls from the patrons about what's going on. We'll talk about the new HOH and what they have in store live on Friday afternoon. We've been doing those when the feeds go down for the wildcard competition. So look for us probably around 1-2 p.m. Eastern on Friday on the patron podcast feed. This past week, and we had Jason Reed on the slop to talk about all of the nonsense in the world of a Big Brother. This Monday night, Chappelle is going to be back with me on the slop. Chappelle, are you ready to get sloppy?
I love sloppy. Let's do it.
If you see slop happening anytime, robhasawebsite.com/getsloppy. We love to get all of your links and live feed clips and crazy questions at robhasawebsite.com/getsloppy. Last night, boy, if I'm if I'm dragging a little bit today, we went into the wee hours of the night. This podcast was like a TikTok video compared to last night when we broke the all-time distance record on Rob as a Podcast as Dr. Christian Hubicki joined me to talk about the ninth best season of Survivor Cambodia. You could check that podcast out. It came in ninth place in the all-time top 40 rankings. We went through it all, had a lot of fun. Check that out up on robinsonwebsite.com. And then
too low.
It was too low. Check this out. Chappelle joined Sasha Joseph this week on our brand new Love and Hip Hop Atlanta Rehap Up. Chappelle, how'd that go?
Oh man, it was a ratchet mess and I loved every second of it. We had a good time. I want everybody to check it out. Sasha's amazing. And I was there too. So it was very fun.
Okay. Check that out in our reality TV Rehap-Ups feed. Make sure you're subscribed so you get all the shows there. This week also, Puya talked with Mari Forth from our wrestling Rehap-Up about this week on 90 Day Fiance. That's in our 90 Day Fiance podcast feed. Very excited that I'm going to be back on with Puya to talk about this season. Has really gotten great. It was such a good episode of 90 Day Fiance this week. I haven't listened to Puya and Mari yet, but I can't wait to. It was great, and this week's looks incredible too. I know I'm the only person here that watches it, but
it was so good. Yeah. We were all like, oh yeah,
sure. Natalie broke the fourth wall.
Oh no, not that.
Yes. Oh, it was crazy. All right. And then over on The Bachelorette, is the Men Tell All recap with Haley and Amy over on The Bachelorette. Chappelle, you're watching The Bachelorette still, right?
I was going to ask when the finale was, but obviously that has already happened or is happening currently. So I don't know who is left, but I did see several episodes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Men are telling all over on The Bachelorette. Of course, we've got so much going on in our patron podcast feed. Finished up a 4+ hour patron cast today. Chappelle was there for like the last hour of that one. That was on our patron podcast feed as well. In addition to the slop, the BBQ&A, the weekly patron feedback show. We've already did the one for Survivor Token Sheens this week with Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz and Jason Curtis Rivera. Be back with another patron feedback show for Survivor Second Chances. It's all in our patron podcast feed at robinswebsite.com/patron. Although at this point, might as well wait till August 1st. That's the way to go. It's going to be a great August on Rob is a Podcast, especially on the patron podcast feed. For offers from our sponsors, head on over to robinswebsite.com/offers. And then, of course, be sure to subscribe, whether it's on YouTube or follow us on Twitch as well at twitch.tv/RHAP. And then on social media at Rob's Podcast, or check out what Grace Leader was doing at RHAP Grams. Grace, yeah. Give us a tease for what you do on the Instagram.
So I had people submit tasks to me, and then I completed them.
Oh,
somebody asked me to make a flag out of food, so I did that.
That's intriguing.
Yeah, I drew a picture of my dog with my eyes closed. Mm-hmm. I danced for a minute, although the like Instagram thing doesn't really let you it stops mm-hmm. after whatever time. But
okay, it's fun. All right, that's at RHAP Grams on Instagram. All right, Grace, what's coming up for you? This was so nice to have you back with us on a recap.
So fun! I'm glad to be back. You can follow me on
Brent. Like this was nice.
Yeah, I'm a champagne super fan. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. Check out Hold Up, a podcast I do. I talk about LGBTQ media from the past and see if it holds up. Had Brooklyn mm-hmm. Zed on last week. We watched Velvet Goldmine. It's a really great conversation. I think it's worth checking out.
What is Velvet Goldmine?
It's like a 1998, it's like a David Bowie biographical, like it's not about David, but like David Bowie actually was like, you actually have to change a bunch of the stuff if you're going to like pretend it's about me. I'd never seen it before, but it's great. I feel like it gets overshadowed a bit by like Almost Famous, because Almost Famous comes out like exactly a year later.
Yeah.
But like same sort of feel vibe. There's a journalist covering this like musician. It was great. I did an episode of Community Building on Post Show Recaps. Weeks ago, we did Modern Warfare. So check that out. And mm-hmm. on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, you can find me on twitch.tv/DMPhilly playing Dungeons & Dragons in space.
Space.
Yeah, yes. I play D&D in space with Josh Wigler, Brooklyn Zed, Kirk Clark, lots of familiar faces. So come check it out. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Or you can video on demand on Twitch.
Yeah. Okay. Grace, great having you back with us. Chappelle, what's coming up for you? I know that you've been on a very busy podcast tear.
I have to go to bed soon, Chappelle, so I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Grace, how dare you? No, Rob covered most of my plugs already. I think did you talk about the Reality Rewind we did with Jenny Autumn?
The Scroll, yeah. We talked about
well, Joe. Yeah, we did The Average Joe to wrap up Joe Lie. So our last of the Joe reality shows on the RHAP Rewind. I also was on the Wrestling
Wrap-Up. I had a lot of fun with you and Jenny on the other night. That was a very fun one.
Time of my life. It was great. But yeah, we did the Wrestling Wrap-Up with Matt and Mari and my tag team partner, Jacob Jones, also known as Trey J. So even if you're not a wrestling fan, I guarantee you it was wacky and fun and I would check it out anyway.
We were supposed to be tag team partners.
Grace didn't even tell y'all on the Instagram takeover, somebody who was definitely not me asked her why we don't do enough podcast, like why we don't do more podcasts. Yeah. And I'm still waiting on an answer. Grace.
All right. The person who was not Chappelle. I'll get back to them.
Definitely soon. Not me. Yeah. Not me. Make sure you let them know. But yes. Also, I was on the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast, talking about sports and stuff, the Olympics, Black Batman, and all kinds of other shenanigans. I'll be guesting on the What You Doing podcast this week with Navi and Felipe to talk about the finale of Phineas and Ferb. And Bryce Isaiah has not texted me back, but we were supposed to be talking about Space Jam too. Obviously. Yeah, he's in New Jersey, like having a time of his life, half naked on the Instagram.
I see that on Facebook. Like, wow.
Yeah, look at me in the comments. Like, I'm thumbs down. I'm just liking all the tweets. Yeah, Bryce, he left me hanging. And then, of course, Sasha Joseph and I covered Never Have I Ever for Post Show Recaps, amazing show on Netflix. And I've been trying to tell people to watch it because it's great. Season 2 just dropped, and we gave you all you need to know about Season 1 and Season 2 to kind of get you interested in it so that we might cover it later on the Silent Podcast. But that's it. That's all of my plugs.
Have convinced me to watch it because it was like you guys, I think it was a strategy because it was like you strategically had like one of you post about it, like saying like, hey, the new season's coming out. Yay, excited. And then like a few hours later, another one of you posted about like, oh, best show ever. And then another one, it was like, just this like line of people.
That
and then I kept, it was
plan.
Literally going into my mind.
Chappelle just tweets all the time.
That's great. Over and over, but you know, it was like, wow, everybody's talking about this show, and
everyone is. Yeah, check it out. Check it out. D DM me and then check out the podcast on postshowrecaps.com. Other than that, I think that's it. Just follow me at Chappelle's_show on Twitter, and you'll probably get more random cryptic tweets about Never Have I Ever, because I love it. Sasha loves it, and we're dying to talk about it with anybody who will listen.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then Melissa, what's coming up for you?
How am I supposed to follow that up? It's like, oh, I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm doing all these podcasts. Like, check me out here and there and the everywhere. I'm like, yeah, these were my two podcasts for the week, last night and tonight. So, guess you'll see me next week, possibly at a new location, a new podcast location. So,
yeah. Okay.
Check that out. Check me out there.
Do you want to be on more podcasts?
No. I mean, yes, but no, I'm so busy right now. It's insane. Yeah. So no,
it seems like you don't want more podcasts. You just want more plugs.
Yeah.
I honestly, if you could just like, you know,
why don't you then like, have like, well, I don't have any plugs, but that this week, Allie Lasher and Haley Strong.
Okay.
Emailed
I'm not
going
to go ahead and like, I'm not going to plug other people.
I'm going to cede my plugs too.
Here's my plug. Okay. Yeah.
Mike Bloom, who's not
I posted a really funny Instagram story today, so you should check it out, because Piper was doing something a little silly on our walk. So that's my plug.
Okay. We love it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll give a plug. I have a feeling you're going to be seeing Melissa on the RHAP Twitter and Instagram tomorrow doing the Sarah Beth voice. You're going to be seeing more of Melissa tomorrow. Okay.
This is announcing my new voiceover career.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night. Take care. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com today.